200 Ukrainian refugees are due to arrive in South Kerry in the coming weeks. Some may have arrived already. Refugees expected to stay in holiday homes in the village of Port Magee. To date, more than 3,000 Ukrainians have sought refuge in Kerry, according to CSO figures. Of those, 1,045 refugees are currently residing in the Kenmare local electoral area, effectively the Ivra Peninsula. With me on the line to talk with us, we have Fianna Fáil councillor Norma Moriarty. Norma, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us this morning. This is maybe the start of more numbers coming in, I would imagine, but the size of 200 people coming into a village as small as Port Magee, does that cause you concern?
It's not so much the size of the number of people coming to Port Magee that causes me concern. It's the, I suppose, the overall volume of people coming into the West Ivra area in general. Now, let me premise all of my comments with this, or preface all of my comments with the fact that I want to see the permanent population of South West Kerry grow, and I want to see it grow in a meaningful way, and in a way that we'll be able to retain those people long term, that become permanent residents, because we want to see a vibrant population, you know, a demographic that goes right through all the age categories and groups. That's a healthy demographic to have. That's what we want to see, and I'm delighted to see people coming from all corners of the world to make up what I hope will be that permanent population. But it's the access to services that an increase, a sudden increase in population will minimise, if you like, because the ability to access basic services is going to be impacted by a very sharp rise in population, and you don't have the equivalent sharp rise in the provision of services to meet that population spike. So that's my concern, that's my worry. Because what we're purporting to be doing here is providing a safe haven for people coming from very difficult circumstances. And I 100% welcome and agree with that, as indeed does the population of South West Kerry. We welcome people and we want to give them that safe haven. We want to give them that refuge. But crucial to that being safe is access to services, access to good healthcare services, access to decent education services.
Are those services there for the 200 people coming into Port Magee right now, health, education and other areas?
We're going to struggle in relation to health. And can I also say that our local GPs, and I will be considering our two GPs in Carsevine, our GP in Waterville, and indeed our GP in Snee, have been doing a heroic job in meeting the needs that currently exist. And it must be said that they have done outstanding work there. But I would worry about added volume. And because there's only so far that those four GPs can go, there's only so much that those four GPs can do. And I am concerned about that. We're a significant distance from acute hospital services. We don't have crisis mental health services in South West Kerry. We're doing a lot of work on the ground to improve that and to develop that. And we hope to see improvements in that in the not too distant future. But we're always going to be, catching up in relation to, a sudden spike in population. That's not good. That's not a result of good planning. That's a result of crisis management. We all acknowledge that. But if we're going to make a success of this, proper coordination and planning must be factored into this. And if you like, that's really where my call comes from. I want everybody to be able to make a success of this. I want the people who are coming in here seeking refuge to have, a good experience in South West Kerry. I want them to be so, to feel so welcome, and indeed to be able to access services to a degree that if they choose to actually permanently make Ireland their home, that it would be South West Kerry that they would choose, and that it would be as a result of having had such a positive experience. If we bring people into a situation where they're going to be constantly queuing and waiting and going without, they're not going to want to stay here. In fact, they will leave the place as quickly as they possibly can. And we will not have done our duty. We will not have provided that safe refuge that we said we were going to provide.
Yeah.
And it's not the people of South West Kerry, if you like, that have failed in that. It is the system that has not communicated properly with the service providers in the locality to allow for the forward planning, to allow for the examination of capacity, and to grow things in a way that's sustainable. That's where the issue lies. And I do understand, as I said, crisis management initially, but we've been in this system, or in this situation now since March. with a significant period of time over the summer, I do think much, much more should have been done. We knew, you know, in terms of tourism and where the tourism, you know, areas are and potential capacity with holiday homes and hotels. We knew where the low-hanging fruit was going to be. But that wasn't, you know, to simply say, oh, we can move people around like pieces on a chessboard there without, you know, taking genuine care of what is the local health provision like in that area.
Yeah.
You know, how many people will be able to access a dentist, a doctor, a wound care nurse, whatever it might be. People are coming with, you know, traumas from conflict, but they're also coming with pre-existing conditions like any cohort of a population. And we want, as I said, to be able to properly meet those needs. Now, and again, please, I've said the doctors have been outstanding. You know, the local HSE and reach teams on the ground have been outstanding. All of the agencies are doing what they can to work, but they're very much in a reactive position. The family resource centres have been brilliant. The local community people with the welcome groups, and you know, all of that. I'm very proud of the people of South West Kerry and what they've done. Extremely proud of them. But we're actually going to be doing nobody any favours if the volume keeps intensifying, because we will not be able to meet the needs.
And it looks like it will be, from what I'm hearing, and I've been talking to hospitality providers over the last month or so about offers that have been made. Some people are contacting IPAS looking to say, look, for the winter I have availability here. I'm hearing there are more Ukrainians going to be going into holiday homes in Kenmare, again, about 2 to 3 kilometres outside the town. A bit of a distance from the nearest supermarket and a bit of a distance from anywhere, really, in terms of trying to get access to local services. And again, putting maybe the same pressure you're talking about in local services, all happening very quickly because of the emergency that we're in. Now, yesterday, we learned that asylum seekers arriving to Ireland have to sleep rough in Dublin because there simply is no more room at the moment. And is that where the pressure is coming from, in terms of the fact that we have a housing crisis, we have increased numbers of refugees and asylum seekers coming looking for refuge here, and the whole Ukrainian situation on top of all that has us where we are? The government, IPAS, are scrambling for accommodation anywhere they can find it, and will be putting a lot into off-season hospitality in places like Kerry in order to meet the crisis.
100%. And IPAS is, if you like, their only concern is accommodation. And like, if you told IPAS that there was a 6-floor hotel on Church Island in the middle of Waterville Lake, they'd be putting people out there with no concern to the wraparound services that would be required. That's not a healthy situation. That's not a good system. And while I understand, as I say, the crisis element of this and the management element of it, we want to do right by people. Not simply, it really is about quality. We want to have quality interventions, quality integration, a quality service provided for people to do the right thing, but not tick a box with a quantity side of it. You know, and beat our chest that we welcomed X amount of people into the country. If the welcome doesn't transpire into access to proper services and good integration and a good experience in all communities, we failed everybody. So there's no point in telling ourselves that that's okay. We want to do this right. And in order to do it right, we need to take a breath here and say, can we properly look after the people that are here? And if we load more and more people on that, we're failing everybody.
Is part of the reason we are where we are because of the failure to organise and to meet the pledges of accommodation from ordinary citizens in this country? We had a system where local authorities were meant to work through this over the last number of months. We've reports from some local authorities, they haven't even sourced a single room in a house, despite 6 months of time for them to get it organised. Would that have led to better disbursement, less pressure on the system? 85% of rooms pledged haven't been taken up. And is that a failure of government to do that, resulting in this crisis?
I think it's not accurate enough to say that's simply a failure of government. I think the initial...
I'm not saying these government, a failure of our local authorities to get it organised.
Well, the role of the local authority is to inspect the accommodation. That's effectively where the local authority comes in. And there's a team of engineers who go out and they inspect properties. And I'm aware of it because I know they've inspected properties and they've passed them and they've advised X, Y and Z needs to be done. And they're doing that quite well, can I say. The What happened was a significant amount of properties were pledged and subsequently they were unpledged, or it didn't transpire. Or you had a situation where people realised that on their fixed income, if they were going to be in a house that might be done and, you know, given over, and there are a lot of people who were willing to give second homes and simply leave them to Ukrainians for a 12-month period or whatever it was. But the refugees themselves realised, well, if we go into this property, we're actually covering all of the utility costs on our fixed income. And, you know, they realised this was going to be an enormous stretch. In some issues, in some situations, it's working because there's work available and people are able to earn an income and cover and meet the costs. It could be a struggle, but they're able to meet it. They're going to be subject to the same energy worries that the rest of us have in relation to rising prices. But an awful lot of that pledged accommodation has not materialised. And there's no doubt the initial broad planning factored that amount of pledged accommodation into the numbers, if you like, that people felt that we were able to going to cope with. There needs to be a rethink there, because when that pledged accommodation hasn't come over,
Why hasn't it come over is the question. Is it because of people have pulled out, they realise, no, actually I can't do this, or is it because it's been so slow to go through all those houses, maybe a little bit too much regulation to respond to the crisis that we have?
I suspect.
And it's free, that accommodation is free, by the way, as well, by and large. Yes. Whereas this accommodation cost a lot of money to the state.
It costs an enormous amount of money to the state, and you're not left, and it's purely the service of the accommodation provision you're paying for, and you have no increase in assets at the end of it. And that's another issue that I would like to see changed. Given the amounts of money involved, there should be at least an increase in stock, even if it were a long-term lease, that stock could subsequently be reused from a social care and social housing provision. But I think it's an element of all of what you have said there, accommodation that was withdrawn, a belief that people said that this is actually going to, and realisation, I think, that that this is going to go on for a considerable length of time.
Yeah.
It's not going to be short term.
Yeah.
The unwillingness of some of the Ukrainian people themselves to put themselves in a position where they were going to be financially in a very precarious situation because of overheads and costs. And indeed, you know, that there may have been, you know, the quality of the accommodation might necessarily have been up to a set of standards that the local authority has to insist upon.
Okay.
And that therefore it was withdrawn as well. So it's a myriad of those things, but it comes down to, we need to look after people properly, and we
at the moment, the way it's being done, the wraparound services are not there. Okay, we're going to have to leave it there. My thanks to you, Norma Moriarty, Councillor Norma Moriarty, Fianna Fáil, there with her concerns over what's happening.